Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at Patreon.com/RealityTVPod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Hello, welcome back. Sit back, get ready, because I got a big show for you today. A big week, in fact. I recorded an episode with my co-host on Total Request Podcast that is on Patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. And the episode that we watched this week, per request, was Extreme Love. I believe it's episode 3. You guys, that was probably the most painful for me to recap podcast I have ever done. This episode that we watched was all about swingers. There was a little person couple. It was a couple that the girl is a baby, like a grown baby fetish. It is fucking bizarre. Oh, and sex robots. And guess who was in charge of recording all the sound clips and leading the conversation? Oh, yes. It was my turn. I mean, it was just the perfect storm of let's make Jody want to end it all right now. So make sure you check that out. That's going to be coming up, I believe, this week, next week. We have a bunch of episodes already recorded. So make sure you check that out. On Moms on the Rocks, Carrie and I are playing a game of care, don't care. We get into some cold cases from the Charlie Project. And if that were not enough, Amanda is back on my Patreon this week to talk about the last several episodes of Teen Mom, and it's going to get pretty good because of the recent news that Janelle Eason has separated from her husband. More on that in just a moment, but if you know anything about Amanda and I, even if you are not into Teen Mom, we like to go off on tangents, and since our recent discovery that we are both obsessed with true crimes and documentaries, I have a feeling we're going to be going into that some more, whether it is on our separate Patreons or on Total Request Podcast. Also, a little warning, you may be hearing some background noise today. I am recording this on Monday, which means it is President's Day. Happy President's Day, whatever that means. Well, I know one thing it means that my kids are home off of school today. They are in the background, and unfortunately for you, they take after their mom, which means that they have a big mouth and big personalities, and although I have given them several warnings and quite a few mom looks, you may hear some running around and talking about Fortnite. So with that all said, let's get into what's going on in the very shallow end of the news. First are the allegations that are coming out against Ryan Adams. He is the singer, not Bryan Adams, the All for Love or the Robin Hood theme song, I think. Wasn't that a thing? The Ryan Adams I'm talking about is Mandy Moore's ex. There have been quite a few women who came forward to say he was, I think, abusive with them. He was very disgusting, controlling, and Mandy Moore herself has even said the same thing. So I have a feeling we're going to hear quite a bit about that. Now, I mentioned before, Janelle Evans Eason. Even if you are not a Teen Mom watcher, you already know who this chick is. She's freaking crazy herself, but somehow she found someone even crazier to marry. This guy, David, is going to be the guy that just snaps and loses his mind and does something extremely dangerous. We already know that he is allegedly a racist and extreme misogynist. And the guy is just, he's a piece of shit, okay? I wouldn't put it past him to take it out on his kids, take it out on her. So I hope for both of their sakes, they go their separate ways. And we'll talk about this more on my Patreon. For those of you who are not Teen Mom watchers, you're like, okay, shut up. Now, let's talk a little bit about this Jussie Smollett thing. I think that's how you say it. I had a feeling right from the beginning, you know, you hate to be skeptical of things, but the story just didn't add up from what he was saying. You know, I always talk about my trusty go-to site, blindgossip.com. They were on it from the jump. They had some sources who contacted them saying all of the details will come out, and this was a whole PR stunt, basically. And guess what? They were right, or so it seems. I've got my eye on it. You know, this whole thing with Hollywood and what's coming out, it really messes with a greater sense of trust with people who come out with real stories. And if this is a real thing and Jussie Smollett was targeted and beat up, that's freaking shitty as hell. But it's going to be even worse for him if he planned this thing just so we would all know who Jussie Smollett is. This whole PR machine that has been created, it just sucks, you know, especially for those of us who love this juicy kind of stuff. It really fucks with our sense of wonder and fantasy. And speaking of that, I'm going to go into, be a complete hypocrite of exactly what I was just talking about. And I'm going to go to blindgossip.com. They're not a sponsor or anything like that. I'm just obsessed with this site. They had posted this blind item, oh, maybe about a month ago. And when it was solved, I almost lost my mind because I do not understand what people see about this person. Okay, let me read it to you, and then I'm going to tell you who it is. And you let me know if I'm the only one who has a distaste for said person in the article. You would probably never think of putting these two celebrities together as a couple. It may have happened anyway. He is the son of two very famous celebrities, an athlete and a singer, which automatically makes him a very desirable bachelor. I beg to differ. She is a singer who has dated over a dozen male celebrities, mostly musicians. They were spotted together multiple times. The most recent time was at a private event. There are a couple of possible issues here, though. First, our golden girl singer seems to be available, but our young male celebrity usually has a girlfriend. Second, his famous mom absolutely hates the singer. The singer is a lot older than our young scion, and mom does not like her predatory ways. See if you can guess our couple without using any nasty nicknames. Okay, place your bets. Ready? Brooklyn Beckham and Rita Ora. Surprise to no one, I have no idea who Rita Ora is, except that she's a singer based on this article. But Brooklyn Beckham, I mean, you guys, is he really that good looking? Well, he's legal now, right? He's 19. Okay, so I guess I can legally say the kid is ugly. How is he even have a steady girlfriend, let alone be, okay, I'm looking at this picture of Rita Ora. She's freaking gorgeous. How is he getting with her? Is it just a way to get closer to David Beckham? I mean, maybe she really is smarter than I think. Now, this is what happened, and this is how it came out. Apparently, the two of them had been dating and sharing flirty texts when he was 18 and she was 26. A friend of Posh said she made it clear she didn't approve. Brooklyn Beckham was read the riot act by Mum Victoria over a secret fling with Rita Ora and told to pack it in. Now, there's a whole bunch of other details. I'm not going to really go into it, how they met and all that kind of stuff. But the whole reason it came to light was because Rita Ora bought a new home right next door to them. And that is why, what's her name? Posh Spice was so pissed off about it. It's a pretty good move. It's a pretty good way to get back at Posh Spice. Either, yeah, move next door to her after you've slept with her son, or just tear into a burger right in front of her. All right, another really, really good blind item, hot off the presses. And this is no secret in the blind item world, but if you don't regularly read them, whether it's on Crazy Days and Nights or Blind Gossip, whatever you read, get into this one because I completely believe it. This one was published on February 15th called Hanging On Through Oscar. Again, it's on Blind Gossip. We already told you that this relationship is fake. We knew that they were likely to break up very soon after this award season was complete. In an amusing twist, though, that might not happen. The problem is they really can't stand being around each other, so they may not even make it through the Oscars. We're just trying to convince them to suck it up and stay together for a few more weeks. Isn't at least one of these people an actor? Jeez, people, start acting. Pretend that you adore and support each other. Hang in there for a couple more weeks. You can break up 5 minutes after the Oscars if you like. I'll give you a little hint. Most of the comments on this one are split between two couples. The first being, drum roll, Bradley Cooper and Irina, whatever the hell her last name is. I tend to believe that it is in fact Bradley and Irina, despite the fact that they do have a kid together. From the moment these two came out as a couple, everyone in Hollywood, and you know, I know everyone in Hollywood, has been saying that she's his beard. I actually hate that phrase, by the way, but I'm just reporting the news, saying the things that are in these blind items. So I'm going to go with that. I think it is Bradley and Irina, and I'm going to place my bets on those two breaking up very soon. Now, the other half of the commenters on Blind Gossip are saying they think it's Rami Malek and his girlfriend, his longtime love, Lucy Boynton. I really don't know who she is, but I hope it's not true because I love Rami. I don't want to feel deceived by him. I want to just keep him on this high pedestal that I have him. And I honestly, I don't think it is Rami and Lucy because they've been together for quite a long time, even before he became big, I think. I'm probably just making this shit up and speaking out of my ass here, but I'm going to go for Bradley and Irina. They're going to split up. They're going to be Hollywood's latest divorce. Oh no, they're not even married. Whatever the fuck. Okay, I don't care. Quickly, before I get into Love After Lockup, there's no easy way to segue this. I just want to say, Aurora, Illinois, you're pretty damn incredible and you have all of our love and support. I know you have mine. There are quite a few GoFundMes that are going right now. I'm going to make sure that the one that I find to post links to is legit and going to the victims and the victims' families. I'm sure you saw it all over on MSNBC and CNN. A workplace shooting, someone who had a firearm who should not have, and innocent victims, people who went to work that day to provide for themselves and their families, as well as the law enforcement officers who went in there, risked their lives to save the employees and to keep their community safe. Aurora, I called you home for a couple of years, and my last house right before we moved was just a few blocks from Aurora. Right now, I'm only two towns away. And like I said, I will find legit sources to donate to if you are looking to do so. So keep an eye out for that. Now, let's have a deep cleansing breath and a sharp right or left turn. Doesn't matter, because we're going to dive into Love After Lockup. This episode's title is She Has to Go. Who do you think that is about? Could be Megan, could be Sarah, could be Tracy. Oh, this show just keeps us on our toes. First up, let's get into Matt and Caitlin. Now, Matt is ring shopping, you guys, and what better wingman to bring than Buzz? He is not only Matt's only friend, but he is also a wordsmith and a gemologist. Did you know that? In Buzz's words, to buy a ring, that would never be a thought in the mind process after a scrummaged with your loved one. Oh, Buzz. Shh, 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 shh. Rest your mouth, buddy. Just zip that little lip until we ask you to speak, okay? Just pipe down. Just, yeah, keep it quiet. Now, the look on Laura Ingalls Wilder and Julia Louis-Dreyfus in that jewelry store. Matt casually mentions that he was in prison, and there was this classic look between the two of, oh my God, press the panic button, we're in the suburbs, what are we gonna do? Grab my Tory Burch purse, we're assistant co-managers, we trained for this, just press the button and let's get out of here. I mean, the two of them were freaking the fuck out. The one chick was like, do you want us to write down your information on a card? I know what she was doing. We all watch Dateline. I know we all do. You leave your DNA on some sort of evidence so they can trace it back. She knew what she was doing. I don't think she thought that Matt was going to kill her. I actually think, I'm talking about Laura Ingalls Wilder, the one with the ruffles. I think she knew that Buzz had it in him to, okay, it's going to get really dark here, but I just feel like Buzz has a certain method of killing that he prefers, whereas Matt would be more spontaneous. Matt would leave a dirty crime scene. I think Buzz, he knows how to clean a crime up. Okay, totally went off on a tangent here. Now I'm wondering, do you think that is why Buzz has the Beanie Boos in the back of his car? Like a distraction? A police officer would be like, oh, that guy's not going to kill someone. He likes furries. Ooh, he probably is into furries. Wow, okay. Ooh, going off here. Oh, and now I got to talk about Caitlin's mom. Okay, great. Good job, Jody. Well, there's your segue. Caitlin learns that her mom dies, and it was really sudden. It was sad. I mean, what am I going to say, you guys? There's nothing I can say except I feel really bad for her, especially when you have a strained relationship with a parent. And Caitlin feels bad because the last time she saw her mom, they were not completely getting along. I like to think maybe the video of them hugging and the fact that she met Matt, if they ultimately end up together, that'll be maybe a little secret blessing. Okay, I try to be nice. Let's just move on because there's no easy way to talk about it. All right, let's talk about Megan, Michael, and Sarah. Guess what? Little birdie, she likes cheese. And Sarah knows that every mom in America is going to be watching and judging how she's going to respond to her kid asking for a chemical-filled Kraft single. So Sarah throws in this comment about how many fresh, organic, non-GMO fruits and veggies she's thoughtfully served and prepared. But no, Grandma totally busts her. She swoops in like a hawk. Oh, see what I did there, birdie, Grandma Hawk. And she just throws a slice of cheese at little birdie like she's feeding ducks at a pond. I really don't even have to try with these bird and duck scenarios. The kid's name just, it paints the picture for all of us. Now, Sarah informs us that Michael has been just the perfect dad and husband lately. They had that big fight, but since then, she is thinking that they are going to be great together. She hasn't told him that she's with child yet. She's just waiting for the right moment. Now, meanwhile, Meggles over there is all sad and over-preparing her glass of water like she's Julia frickin' Childs. And let's just talk about this. Let's break it down. I desperately want to know if real people, if you, actually goes and retrieves a stemless wine glass and pours a refrigerated bottle of water into it. I mean, come on. No one really does that, right? You're not living on a sitcom set, right? I mean, relax, Megan. You'd be fine if you were drinking out of the Costco water bottle. No one freaking cares. So she's sitting there with her fancy water. She rings up Michael and she's just whining about not seeing him. And she thought she was going to see a lot more of him. And her plan is now to fly to Michigan to see him because otherwise she doesn't know when he's going to be able to come visit her. She can't just be sitting here in her parents' house drinking water and slicing up tiny apple slices until he can visit. She can't be living on the memories of Niagara alone. And let's talk about this for a second. I knew exactly where Megan was talking about when she said, I miss Niagara. But Michael had to clarify and he asks, Niagara Falls? No, Niagara floats. Yes, Niagara Falls, you fucking fool. What else would she be talking about? I've never in my life thought someone would have to clarify, oh, you mean Niagara Falls when someone says Niagara. God, I want to just kick him upside the head. Okay, so what else? Oh, okay, he's also, in addition to being a fool, he's just a total asshole because he's playing family man now. He's invited his little sister, his mom, his wife, his daughter, they're all walking around the park, all the while he knows Megan is on a plane and she's going to visit him. Now, we also need to remember that Mother Michael knows all about Megan. They've even talked on the phone together. Mother Michael's got to make a decision, and I don't think we're all fools. I think we know that Mother Michael knows, follow me here, that Sarah is going to watch this footage. she's got to undo the wrongs that she's done, because Sarah is going to see the footage of her talking to Megan and keeping secrets from her. So now she's got to play the peacemaker. She's got to play sides, really. She's got to choose Sarah's sides. And she tells Michael, you got to make your decision, drop the side piece, meaning Megan, even though I hate to think of her as a side piece because I like Megan more. But she tells Michael, you know, knock it off. You have a wife, you have a kid. And suddenly, Michael changes his mind and says, today is the day that he's going to break up with Megan. Logically, I know this probably is the best choice. And he is married. He has a daughter. Sarah was there first. But I'm on Megan's side. I just like Megan more. Although Sarah has also spent time and money on Michael, so has Megan, and Megan didn't really have to. Does that make sense? Sarah is his wife. Not that she has to. Just go with me here. I feel bad for Megan. She spent all this time, all this money planning to be with Michael, and now he's just going to do her even dirtier than he did the night at the falls. And yes, I'm talking about Niagara Falls. Now, WeTV, I have quite a bone to pick with you, and it's not Michael's. They have some explaining to do because they promised us a Megan-Sarah showdown, and we didn't even make it out of the airport parking lot. I am very disappointed, and I just wish that I had Clint's ex-wife Haley here to help me demand to speak with a manager. Speaking of Clint. He's moping around his house, and that place is just littered with hand-me-down colonial-style furniture from, I'm guessing it was like the 1997 Kendall's Kitchen home renovation. He's got the brass lamp and the apricot-stained end tables. Do you see it now? And on said end table, we have a framed 8x10 of Tracy. It is the one and only default selfie that we have seen every episode. The one where, you know, she's blonde from root to tip. The only time she's ever been blonde from root to tip. I know. Can only imagine, right? And that's the good part, because behind Clint is a series of four. Oh, gosh, this is going to be hard. Okay, breathe through this. Whew. There's four stains on the wall. Oh, I'm feeling it like in my back, up my spine. Okay, if I can get through pushing four kids out, I can get through pushing this out of my mouth and my mind. Okay, on the wall, there are four, it's like squirt marks. It's brownish in color. I took a screenshot of it. Just go and look at it because I really can't give you any more verbal description of it without me throwing up. I don't want to know what it is. I'm almost hoping it's blood, because if it's not blood, then, oh God, what is it? Okay. Oh, jumping away from the wall, far away from the wall. Let's touch on this timeline because I had some questions here. So Clint says that he's been married for 2 weeks. So we've jumped ahead quite a bit. He hasn't seen Tracy since the morning after they got married. So we're going on 2 weeks here. Yet Tracy has been out of jail for 5 days. So, hold on a second. Wait. Ring, ring, ring. Huh. You are receiving a collect call from a corrections facility.
Babe, where are you?
I'm in fucking jail again. The annoyance in Tracy's voice, I do think it was kind of justified, because what the fuck kind of question is that, Clint? The robot voice just told you she's in jail. You are getting a call from someone in jail. Now, in a nutcase shell, Tracy was speeding. She got pulled over, thank God for dashboard cams, ran her info, saw she had a warrant for parole violation, and bada boom, bada bing, yada, 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 here we are. She's in jail until her parole officer can come. Until then, she tells Clint to just, you know, put the whole missing car thing aside. They'll figure it out later. There's no rush, no worries. You see, Tracy parked it at a gas station. Sure, the keys are in the ignition and there's a sign that says Goddess on board, but come on, no one's really going to take it. They can just swing by in 15 to life and they'll pick it up. Don't worry about it. Now, maybe they could also swing by a tattoo shop while they're at it, because Tracy's got a little tattoo that needs some fixing. If you didn't catch the little interstitial segment, make sure you do. It's always somewhere between like the 40-45 minute mark, and it's like a 90-second, 60-second clip. They had Tracy reporting from behind bars. It was very Dateline style. She had the orange jumpsuit on. The lighting was kind of dark, or maybe it was just the circles under her eyes. But she is all too eager to show off this new tattoo that she got on her ring finger that says Clint. I mean, she may have had to smuggle in some meth in her hoo-ha in order to afford the pen ink and the shampoo it took, but you know what? It was worth it because labor is included in that cost, so it really was a bargain. Now let's get to Lizzie and Scott. He certainly does not know how to find a bargain, does he? The wedding dress shopping scene. Oh, it was so good. Lizzie says that she is bringing Jasmine dress shopping because, and she does this long pause, which, I mean, come on, a rule of improv. You don't think, just say it. Come on, Lizzie, spit it out. Just say you're bringing Jasmine because you want to torment the fuck out of her and make everything all about you because you're a narcissist. But she doesn't. She tells us it's because she wants to have a fairy tale wedding and she wants to have butterflies circa 1997 style. And they're all going to flutter around her and she wants a horse-drawn carriage that's going to whisk her away. She's got to realize the closest thing possible, best case scenario, closest thing she's going to get is Scott mumbling around, crop dusting some fluttery farts all around her near a barn that happens to smell like horse shit, okay? Oh, and Scott's new bridge that looks like horse teeth, but we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Now back to this dress scene, somewhere between Lizzie trying on the second dress and figuring out Jasmine's Spice Girl's name, ready for it, Dread Velvet, I started siding with Lizzie. Oh, I know, I had to check myself. Anyone else with me here? I just kind of see her point of view, like, yeah, Scott, you know, he's not her Romeo. He may not be her soulmate, but he takes care of her. He's stable. Sure, she thinks he's stable, at least. I don't know. Lizzie just makes it kind of sound believable that she is legitimately taking the steps to live a normal life. God, she's really good, isn't she? She's manipulating the fuck out of me because I am falling for it hook, line, and sinker. Now jump to Scott and the new car that he's bought for Lizzie. I see that he has gone with the red bow, which Lizzie loves, and she sees her new car, bends at the waist to show off, everything in those jean shorts, or everything not in the jean shorts. And that's when Scott looks at her and he's like, anything else? And I immediately thought, oh, you know, did you forget to give him a hug or say thank you? Maybe a little Michelle Obama fist bump. But no, he's smiling at her and he is flashing those new horse teeth. I mean, they are so white, they are almost transparent. Whew. I mean, he definitely sat down and picked the furthest extreme on the Zoom whiteness spectrum because those things are freaking, they're beyond chiclets, okay? It's like marshmallows. No one could miss the large jumbo style, maybe even the s'more style marshmallows in his mouth. Only Lizzie, right? Only Lizzie would not see them because Lizzie never actually looks at Scott. She's always skipping off to go buy more Slim Jims and ice cream. So, of course, she doesn't even know what the hell he looks like in daylight. Now, I have another question for you. I'm full of questions today and full of puns, punny questions, if you will. Did she tell us before that she did not have a driver's license? I mean, what's the rush with getting her a car if she doesn't have a license or possibly cannot get a license because she's had DUIs? I really hope it's a car that he is going to use himself. Maybe he doesn't have a car and it's going to be his until she does get one. Because if that's not the case, he really is a true dumbass and deserves the debt that he's getting himself in. Okay, last couple, Brittany and Marcelino. Brittany's planned this birthday for Marcelino at Bunky's parents' house. It's a big birthday party. There's some big news. Shh. She's pregnant. I'm sad. I mean, this was quite the secret they kept while the show has been airing. And I know I'm supposed to be happy for them, but I just have this gut feeling, like many of you do. We've been talking about this in the Facebook group. It's just, Brittany seems very independent, and I just think she's going to end up feeling very closed in, or Marcelino is just going to put the hammer down and be very controlling with her. I mean, I hope that's not the case. I hope for Brittany and both her kids' sake that we're just seeing a little creative editing and Marcelino's not that controlling. But let's get to some lighter notes here. Amanda, remember her ex-girlfriend, she's also coming to celebrate, which makes zero sense because this is Marcelino's birthday, so obviously this was all for the cameras. Amanda has brought a friend, also named Amanda, to really amp things up, and amp it up she does. I think Marcelino was really the one to set things off with the "no woman can compete with a man's way to take care of a woman" bullshit. However, as a guest of a guest at a party that is hosted by a guest of the homeowner, just don't make any waves, Amanda number two. I was going to call her Amber, same difference. You know, just enjoy the pasta salad and free booze and go with the flow. Upon hearing this Amanda number two complain about Marcelino, Brittany starts to lose her shit because she knows that this chick almost told Marcelino off, and she knows that Marcelino is probably going to take it out on her. She also knows that she cannot throw down like a pod boss anymore because, "Bunk, you don't understand. I'm pregnant. I haven't told anyone. I haven't even told Marcelino yet." Now, this is when Bunky, aka Sasha, or vice versa, responds like all of us and says, "Oh, I'm so excited for you." No, she's not. Sasha's not excited. She's worried. Think about it. If a friend of yours was pregnant and you were truly excited for her, this is how a normal chick would respond. "What? Holy shit, you're freaking pregnant? When did you find out? Oh my God. Wait, I'm the first one to find out? Oh my God. How are you going to tell him? Can I be the godmother?" That's the kind of thing, okay? And "I'm so excited for you." That is exactly how you respond to a coworker you really can't stand, or, you know, that bitch eating crackers that you can't stand. "Sasha, we got you, girl. Let's have a talk. We can all hash out our greatest fears together, and then we can plan a baby shower like, you know, all friends who talk behind their friends' backs." Now, I'm still wondering what is going on with Angela and Tony. We have not seen them. I thought they were going to be on this season, but I guess if they are not, I guess I'll just be happy with the food tasting scene where she basically has phone sex with him in the middle of a catered lunch. Now, after a quick break, let's get into, let's talk some sister wives. I am psyched to tell you guys about my sponsor this week, Drops. I've been hearing ads for them on other podcasts, so I was pretty excited to try their laundry pods and wool dryer balls out. We tried laundry pods before, but the color swirls dyed a bunch of Dave's shirts. You can imagine how ticked off he was. Awesome blue splotches all over four brand new shirts. Drops are different though because they know that color doesn't mean clean. Their formulas offer a plant-based, chlorine-free, biodegradable way to take care of your home and your clothes. I use the Sensitive Skin fragrance-free pods for my kids' loads because they both have eczema year-round. It's so hard to keep up on it, and I was shocked how clean and soft everything came out. I'm going to try the Sensitive Skin with lemon and eucalyptus oils for them next time because the lavender eucalyptus ones that I used on Dave's clothes and mine smelled so good. Oh, and the dryer balls. They are 100% New Zealand wool. It cuts down on static, dry time, and they're reusable, and I added a few drops of peppermint oil on them. It made my towels smell amazing. And not only do they have laundry pods, they have dishwasher pods too. Tons of products from kitchen to baby to your gym bag. They are honestly awesome. When you order Drops, you save 20% with automatic wash plans right off the bat because you're cutting out the middleman. Plus, there's no membership fee or extra gotchas. You can skip, delay, modify your order at any time, and free shipping. All your Drops products are delivered in the most sustainable way. No plastic in the compostable box doubles as the shipping container. It's really cool, and it's even cooler because Drops products are manufactured right here in our own backyard in the US of A. Drops believes in supporting local jobs, communities, small businesses, and fair wages. Right freaking on, Drops. And now that I'm a pet owner, the fact that they are cruelty-free and never tested on animals is amazing. Drops believes in kindness, not in taking harmful shortcuts. Here's what you need to do. Visit drops.com/realityb. That's drops, drops.com/realityb, R-E-A-L-I-T-V, and enter realityb to get an extra 30% off your first order of convenient, plastic-free, eco-friendly cleaning. Every Drops counts.
Where we go one, we go all.
This is exactly where my fucking DirecTV Now allowed me to jump in on this episode because it has the worst fucking glitches at the worst times. Am I the only one? Ugh, I mean, you can't have me missing a Cody Brown original Kinko's sponsored presentation after I have given years where I have turn to the Ferber method so I could make it downstairs to watch other women more miserable than I. I've spent years of telling my kids I need to watch this very important anthropology show and, you know, years threatening my kids that I'm going to add another mommy or daddy to the family. Okay, you don't do me like this, DirecTV Now. Okay, had to get that off my chest. I know several of you can relate. Now, thank God I did make it in time to see Cody, who has fully transformed into Doc from Back to the Future, makes a proclamation and says,
"If we can move to Utah and I can run for office, I can change the world."
And I'm not even kidding you, he sounded exactly like Nicolas Cage about to steal the motherfucking Declaration of Independence. And I know everyone says this, but I truly mean it. I choked on my vodka tonic. I was mid-sip. Oh my God. It just struck me as so fucking funny.
I can change the world.
And by the way, I just tried this new vodka. It's from a box, like the black box people, you know, they make the wine. They have made my wildest dreams come true. I was in the middle of grocery shopping and I saw them there on the shelf. They make a whiskey in a box, a tequila, a vodka. This is not an ad. This is like a PSA. Okay, get yourself some black box vodka in a bladder box. It's going to change your freaking world.
It can change the world.
All right, back to Cody. Okay, he's trying his damnedest to ABC, always be closing. You know, he's just dying to use that phrase like bros do. Always be closing, bro. But I'd have to say by the time he flipped that last foam board, all the wives had made up their mind like, yeah, we're not going to do this thing with Cody, right? We're not going 100% into the where one go, we all go kind of thing. Janelle is beyond pissed. She's fuming. She has changed color. She's bright red. She has the most normal kids. Okay, so whatever Janelle wants to do, I think is the way to go. I mean, Hunter and Garrison got royally fucked over last time. Do we really even need to go there? That was dark. And probably Madison too, now that I think about it, because, I mean, she ended up marrying Caleb, so there's your sign that some damage was done, because she was pretty normal before they moved. So yeah, Janelle is pissed. Christine, she's more sad, mostly because Gwendolyn wants to be secretary or school historian or something, whatever. Robin, guess how Robin feels? Well, she's fucking psyched because really, it's all about baby Areola and Prince Solomon, right? Oh, how are we going to be able to afford for those two? So she can pretend like she's got some reservations, but you know, she and Cody were planning this thing from the get-go. Now, Mary, how does Mary feel about this? Well, she says she doesn't want to move because Utah is where her business is, you know, the business that received a loan that was not for a business to be held at the B&B. It's supposed to be a primary residence for someone, allegedly. go back and listen to episode 126 or whatever it is if you are wondering what I'm talking about. But in any event, Mary says she doesn't want to go live in Utah. She doesn't really care because we all know she's going to check the fuck out no matter where they go. Now we get a quick commercial break, which allowed me to really soak in the change that is happening in Cody's hair. My friends, I think Cody got a perm. I mean, we have seen those tendrils for years, and I've never, ever seen that kind of spiral. I have wavy hair myself. I have worked my waves with everything from Aussie sprunch spray to bedhead to pretty much anything and everything that has been on a shelf for wavy hair. Nothing has been able to take any sort of frizz from my hair to shiny curls like that. Nothing but a perm or extensive time with one of those curling wands is going to produce that kind of bounce, that kind of Germac bounce back beautiful hair. No amount of foam boards or PowerPoint presentations is going to convince me of anything otherwise. You know where Cody would love to sport those new curls, though? With Mitch's mom, Hannah, because there's a girls' trip that you know he is dying to get in on. Now, it turns out Mitch's mom is not only a milliner, that is a hat maker, of course. She's also a single, fabulous lady. What a saucy little minx. I think Robin better watch out, because she looks away. I think she could be the new Mary if she doesn't play her long sleeves under a tank top, right? Because Cody has got a little something for Hannah. I know it to be true. Now, I actually really enjoyed this brown wedding planning scene. Normally, I hate all of them, but I really liked Aspen's simplicity of it. She likes keeping things low-key. It's quite the contrast to McKelty's planning. Oh my God, remember where Tony pretty much just roasted her ass every time she walked out? Oh my God, he was like doing chants. Do you remember that?
Hey, fatty, 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 too, perfy, fatty.
Okay, not exactly, but pretty damn close. Like I said, Aspen, she's just sweet, she's genuine, and I have to give a compliment to the Browns here for something they did in their parenting, which I think they nailed. They are such a body-positive family. I kind of wish I had that growing up. They really did swell in that area. The girls are confident. They kind of make the same comments that everyone does, like, oh, I want to hide this part of my body, or this makes me look thin, but overall, they're pretty confident. Thumbs up to the moms. Now, as for dress specifics, Aspen looked stunning in absolutely everything, right? But I do think she chose the right one for her. Not necessarily my taste, but she's gorgeous. She looks beautiful. However, I don't think I'm alone here. I was about to go freaking Tybo on Robin's ass when she stood up and suggested adding short sleeves to the dress. Thank God Hannah piped up and was like, no, that's a fucking insane idea. Do not change a thing. A fucking short sleeve on that. Really, Robin? Really? Okay, now let's talk about, oh God, Cody taking on all the Mr. Mom duties while the wives are in Seattle. Christine is stressed the fuck out because God forbid Truly doesn't have the look she wants and the book she needs when she goes to a friend's house. But Robin, she's got zero concerns because Cody does everything in my house, Christine. What do you guys mean? He does all of Ariola's baths. He doesn't do baths for Truly. Oh, really? Oh my God. He privately tutors Solomon. Wait, you mean he doesn't do that for all the other kids? What? Maybe it's just because I'm the only legal wife. Maybe that's why, because I'm actually the first wife. What? No. Okay, well, at least Janelle's kids, you know, they know that they don't need Cody. They don't need the other wives. They're like, whatever, we're good. Don't even stop over here, Dad. Like I said before, Janelle's kids and Aspen, they're just so over this Brown family shit. They've got it taken care of. Now let's jump to Seattle. Did you guys know Mary is basically Carrie Bradshaw? She is just a city girl. She loves the lights and the hustle and bustle. And you know what I bet Seattle has a lot of? Get ready for it. Fish. Catfish. Oh, did you guys know that Mary was catfished? Paige, Charlie, did you know Mary was catfished? Yeah. Now, the rest of the wives are just giggling over this ringing the doorbell thing, which is really fucking weird considering they probably have to ring Mary's bed and breakfast doorbell 50 goddamn times before she answers it. But Mary's got it taken care of. It's a doorbell, you guys. I'm a city girl. You just ring the doorbell. Ring, ring. Now, this hat scene in this studio, wow, these bitches are so fucking rude. I did not think Janelle and Christine would have the rudeness factor that they did. I thought those two would at least have some sense in them. They went from bursting out laughing at just the sight of some of these hats to comparing them to airplane hangers and then just playing out doing like the nope, next, never. Oh my God, never. God, you bitches, they're hats. They're hats. It's not a tattoo or like you're wearing some freaky, I don't know, leather S&M getup that I would freak the fuck out about. It's a hat. And then when I thought it was finally over, they had chosen their hats, Mary took it to the next level of deep insult. She comes up with this crazy idea to wear the hats in public to lunch. Oh my God, wear them outside. You'd think Janelle was being asked to show her weight on the scale again. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that was an actual episode. You think if she could do that, she could deal with wearing a little felt on her head. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. But these fucking assholes cannot stop insulting this woman's art. It was even beyond more insulting than Taco Tony ever was. I mean, think about this. Taco Tony would have probably taken the largest hat in that place and worn it with pride while ordering tacos and tres leches cake as he sat at the freaking head of that table at brunch. These women, my God. Okay, now let's just talk about this lunch. Hannah, God love her. She is just ab-fabbing it up. She's got some cocktails. She's dropping subtle hints at the fabulous life without a husband. And Janelle isn't even hiding it at this point, by the way. She just flat out says she wants to be Hannah when she grows up. Same. I think we all love to be living in Seattle, sipping on some cocktails, dipping French fries in a cream-based dipping sauce. I think Janelle, honestly, should just go for it. Leave Mary at her B&B. Let Christine and Cody be freaks in the sheets, because I am always convinced of that. You will never convince me otherwise. And then Robin can keep her legal wife status. So to that, let's just wrap up this episode with Sister Wives by telling Janelle, run, run, Janelle, run. Go off to Paris and travel the world and create your own. Well, we know she won't wear her hat, so not her own hat line. She can do her strive for Janelle across the pond and live her very best life. Okay, after another quick break, let's catch up with the couples on Seeking Sister Wife. It's confession time. I am actually a sucker for getting any kind of package in the mail. I used to subscribe to those monthly sample beauty box kind of things, but I ended up giving away all the sample size products that I didn't want or I didn't use. Enter FabFitFun. Now hear me out. You know me, I'm one of the most frugal people you will ever meet. So you gotta believe me when I tell you how stunned I was when I opened up the FabFitFun spring box and there were huge full-size beauty products and treats and wait till you hear what the monthly subscription cost is. What I love especially about FabFitFun is that you get to choose what you want in your box, and I'm talking really nice stuff. For example, I chose this Show Me Your Moo Moo kimono style floral robe, you know, because Dave is tired of seeing me wear his, and I checked, it retails for $88, that alone. I also chose the Chorus Vitamin C Brightening Sleep Facial, but I could have chosen Quay sunglasses, for example. I also scored this really adorable Sip by Swell water bottle. It's got cute little bees all over it. I mean, the list just goes on. And again, I'm talking full-size products. Each box is guaranteed to have at least $200 worth of goodies, things that you get to choose. The box that I put together was worth over $350. I mean, what can I say? I have expensive taste. I know. How much is it, Jody? Get this. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box, so it's delivered 4 times a year with full-size beauty, fashion, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box. Just think about what you spend on those little sample boxes each month and compare what you get. Okay, so trust me, you want this spring box, so sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out, so you gotta act quickly. Use my code RTV to get $10 off your first box. Just go to FabFitFun.com, you sign up, start getting a box for a life well lived. Use promo code RTV, 3 little letters, to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code RTV to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Well, turns out there is another show besides Extreme Love that makes me want to take a shower immediately, and that is Seeking Sister Wife, primarily because of Dimitri Snowden. The guy just keeps getting worse. I say this every single week. There's just no other way to say it. This guy is a fucking creep, and apparently he loves surprises. That shouldn't really be a surprise to anyone, as he surprised Ashley with a public display of unfaithfulness last year. Yeah, remember that? But this year, oh, this year, it's different. He's sending Ashley to Los Angeles with her mom. And not only is Los Angeles a letdown after Ashley's boasting about being surprised with trips to Malaysia and Thailand and cost plus world market for all the home goods Ashley desires, but it just furthers the truth of Dimitri being a complete and utter douche. A slimy, smarmy worm of a man. Here's my theory. Dimitri loves surprises, not because of the joy he sees in the recipient of the surprise, but rather he's the guy who likes surprises because he gets the adulation and the praise and the, oh, wow, he gets for doing the surprises. You know, he wants people to think he's a man with the true depth of a true ontological architect, and no, I am never going to let that fucking go. He's got to cut the bullshit. He's a narcissist, plain and simple. And let's not forget this whole planning a surprise for Ashley. It's also a gift to himself, before we even get to that, because he's happy to get the ball and chain out of here. He gets baby Candida out of the house for a change. He can sleep through the night. But oh wait, it's not that, because that would take the spotlight off of Dimitri if he were just home alone with the kids. So before I could even predict his next move, he tells us he's flying out to LA to sleep with Vanessa. I'm sorry, meet up with Vanessa, and then he's going to surprise Ashley again. But wait, there's more. He's also going to plan to introduce Vanessa to Mama Donna. What a treat you have planned for your wife. Her mother, who despises you and your lifestyle, get to meet your new girlfriend. Oh, I mean, God, how thoughtful is he? Okay, well, we're not there just yet, because before we get to the meeting, Dimitri and Vanessa are just laughing their way through the part where she has to pretend they just saw each other at the airport. Well, thanks for picking me up. Come on, even a prude like me immediately knows that they had some gross airport sex, which leads to the primary cause of paranoia for all germaphobes across America. Thank you once again very much, Mr. Snowden. Now let's also talk about the part where Vanessa refers to Mama Donna being her future mother-in-law. No, I don't think it really works that way. At least the Browns don't do it that way, and to me they're kind of the tarnished gold standard. Now, no amount of schmooze or flowers are going to convince Mama Donna that her daughter should be having a sister wife. So the bouquets and the flowers, it was so stupid. I mean, you could cut the tension with, I was going to say a knife, but Dimitri probably doesn't use knives because ontological architects don't, and he only eats vegetables. Let's say you could cut the tension with a samurai sword that Dimitri probably has hung in his ontological architect office because he's a collector. Now, it's clear that Vanessa and Mama Donna are really the only ones that seem halfway normal at this table. They are the only ones to notice that it is super awkward. I thought the whole thing was awkward, even the restaurant serving red wine in a white wine glass. But turns out Mama Donna likes Vanessa probably more than she likes Dimitri and even her own daughter. I mean, let's not forget that she had to witness her son-in-law cheat on her daughter last season. So, I mean, come on. She's onto Dimitri just like the rest of us, and she's side-eyeing Ashley just as much as we are. Now let's talk about Bernie and Paige McGee. We find Bernie just yucking it up over on the polygamous dating site. That Brandy, she is a real hoot. You see, Brandy is a 41-year-old lady who Bernie and Paige reached out to. I kind of feel the need to do like a Kristen Wiig impersonation. They reached out to me too. They actually mentioned me first. My profile was better than hers. But I will tell you, just some insight here. Paige was the one who wrote to me in that message, not Bernie. So it was interesting to see Bernie initiating the conversations. You know, was the offer to become my polygamous family before or after the scene was taped? I guess time will tell. Now, this Skyping with Brandy, Bernie was playing it cool, but damn it, he dropped it like it was hot immediately because he is just, he is all giggles and hyperactive when they're talking to her. And even Paige side-eyed him like, okay, settle down, dude. She's not that hot. Take it easy. You're not getting a handy just yet. I can't believe I just said that, but I did. I'm really growing up here right before your very ears on the podcast. I just said handy. Oh, okay. Don't overthink it. Okay, don't overthink it, Jody. You just made a big step. Don't step backwards. Now, let's talk about Brandy. We find out that, I mean, her uterus is basically retired. She doesn't want to have more kids. So there's a little bit of a problem because Paige and Bernie want to grow their family. Much like Michael Scott, the reason they bought the condo was to fill with children. Now, let's talk about Bernie's unfaithfulness. Oh, yes. Bernie, I think he's kind of in a midlife crisis. He's got the convertible, and now he's got some explaining to do because Paige, I would have hit it off with her if I decided to join their polygamous family because she knows how to do some deep diving and some investigative work. Agent P-Dog did some recon and found out Bernie was texting some chick without her knowing, and that's where we get this cliffhanger. Now, I hope and pray that she holds his feet to the fire. I don't mean to make a fire joke, or maybe I do. I told you, full of puns today. But you know what? No compromises. That's bullshit, and Paige does not deserve that. Now, let's talk about the Aldridges. Oh my God. I really, really enjoyed their segments this week. Now, Jeff and Jennifer, that's the maybe new wife, just got done practicing for the 2020 ice skating Olympics. And all of a sudden, we see Jennifer squatting down next to the building, smoking a cigarette. And that's when a producer tells Jeff they have a sitch, and Jennifer suddenly has to respond to a family emergency. Jeff is visibly shaken by this. He's very confused, and Jennifer is visibly annoyed and very uncomfortable. Jeff's first reaction is to mention that now he has to go tell his wives that their nails are going to have to wait. Well, Jennifer probably sniffs something out because, listen, you jerk. The reason she probably ducked out was because she didn't want to spend her Tuesday off trimming Charisse's freaking hangnails. I mean, what the fuck, man? You should be paying for all of these women to go and get their nails done. Have them all go get a massage or something. How the hell he's asking her to go and give them manicures? Unbelievable. Now, eventually, he makes his way back to the hotel, and he informs the ladies that Jennifer's not going to be able to do their nails, and damn it, if Charisse didn't leap off that bed and express how disappointed she was, allegedly. But that's okay, because at least they got to meet her, right? Right? I feel bad. I mean, the pioneer woman, she came from such hardcore feminist mom. Remember, her mom is Hannah the Hat Lady. I wouldn't put those two together. Hannah, go rescue your daughter. I feel like she can do better than Jeff. Let Jeff and Charisse have each other. Jeff can go and trim Charisse's hangnails. Now, speaking of hangnails, let's talk about Colton, who really is like a hangnail of a person. I don't know what that means, but somehow I just see him. He's like a human thumb or something. Maybe if I had more time to see him this episode, because we didn't actually see him at all, I could nail down the exact comparison. I mean, he sounds like Kip from Napoleon Dynamite, but who does he look like? I'll get it. It'll come to me. I'll let you know next week. Okay, now let's get to Sophie's brother, Sophia's second wife, and her brother Angelo. Someone has to help me answer this question. How did Angelo score the cute girlfriend? It's not that he's ugly, it's just that they don't fit. You know what I mean? I mean, don't go calling me an asshole, because you know those couples that you would just never put together and you wonder, like, what the fuck is going on? I would never put those two together. This is one of those couples. Like, I see the girlfriend, like, she's the type that would be working at the last locally owned video store in town, and she, like, smokes pot on her break or something like that. And Angelo, he's given me all the maybe, like, online gambling, online gaming, LARPing vibes. It could just be the transition lenses that he wears, but something's off with this couple. Maybe he's like a professional video gamer and she's with him for the money. Anyway, okay, now I've talked about poor Angelo. Now I'm dragging the mom in too. Okay, wow. Mother Sophie is what Kim Richards would have turned out to be had she lived anywhere other than Beverly Hills. I didn't think polygamists were into meth, but Mother Sophie's dental needs. Screaming meth mouth, right? Or maybe it's like some sort of hereditary periodontal disease. I mean, as someone who suffers from gum recession, please advise, because if this is in my future, I need to take preventative measures. Now, other than Brother Angelo telling us he does not approve of Sophie's lifestyle, the only thing we find out is that Sophie and Colton got new obligatory puffy leather couches, and they like to stockpile tissues all around the computer. Yes, it's true. Go back, look behind Sophie. I counted 4 tissue boxes all opened surrounding a computer monitor. Maybe Colton's looking for wife number 3 online. That's best case scenario, at least. All right, friends, thank you for joining me this week. Remember to find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at RealityBPod. Check out Moms on the Rocks, patreon.com/RealityBPod, and patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. Until next week, stay salty.